Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins. I work for Fairway Markets in the New York area, and we're awfully proud to support Heritage Radio, and we care so much about everything that goes on out here at Roberta's in their studio, because they talk to people who are serious about food, and that's what we are at Fairway, is we're serious about food. We just care very deeply about you as a customer, and how you cook and what you cook with and how you entertain, and that's why we love to support Heritage Radio, because it's pretty much the same thing. It's wanting to find happiness through serious food and people who are serious about it and care about learning everything there is to learn about it. And that's we're kindred spirits. If it's something worth having in your kitchen, you're going to find it at Fairway. And if there's somebody worth talking to about food, you're going to find them on Heritage Radio, and we will be supporting you guys for a long, long time. At Fairway, I'm your personal grocer, Steve Jenkins, Fairway Market.
You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby. You're listening to Cutting the Curd, hosted by Ann Saxelby, broadcast live to the cosmos on the Heritage Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. Our show today has been generously sponsored by Fairway Market and is being produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Nat Wiener. Thanks, guys. If you want to check out Cutting the Curd anytime when we're not broadcasting live, you can do so on the Heritage Radio Network website, which is heritageradionetwork.com. On Cutting the Curd today, we are continuing our State of Cheese theme, and today we are going to the great Midwestern state of Michigan. Great lakes, great cheeses is something that I learned on the internet last night that we'll get into in a little bit. My guest today is Aubrey Thomason, who is a cheesemaker at Zingerman's Creamery. Many of you listening out there might know Zingerman's as a delicatessen, which it started off as, and it's located in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Zingerman's is really a bastion of cheese in the United States, and they're really pioneers in bringing good gastronomy to the people. And it's quite possible that Zingerman's has influenced the state of cheese in Michigan more than most dairies, because they're really bringing some of the finest cheeses being made all over the world to their shop. Adding to that, they built their own creamery, which Aubrey is going to talk to us about. Thanks so much for being on the show, Aubrey.
Thanks for having me. It's a beautiful day here in Michigan.
Oh, it's beautiful here, too. It's like, you know, fall, but not too fall, not too cold.
Not too cold yet.
Yeah, totally. So tell me, how long has Zingerman's Creamery been operating?
We've been in business for just about 9 years. It'll be 9 years in 2011.
Dang, I didn't realize it had been that long.
Yeah, it's been a while. We started off in Manchester, Michigan, which is about half an hour away from Ann Arbor, and then about 6 years ago moved to the same area that our bakehouse is at, and now we have three production businesses all in the same warehouse district.
And that's located just outside of Ann Arbor, right?
Yeah, it's on the south side of town, so we've taken to calling it Zingerman South Side.
You guys really are taking over the south side. I was able to visit a couple years ago, and it's kind of unassuming from the outside, you know, and then you realize everything that's going on, and you're like, oh my God, there's the bakery, there's the creamery, there's the wedding, you know, cake place, and it's really an awesome little enclave that you guys have going on. So tell us about you. I mean, how did you get into cheesemaking? First of all, you're very young. You
25.
Don't have 25. Okay. I was going to say you don't have to say your age on air, but, so how did you get into cheese, and how did you get hooked up with Zingerman's Creamery?
Well, I started working for the deli, Zingerman's Deli, when I was in high school. And over 5 years there, ended up, working up from running trays to working the cheese counter and, you know, selling bread and olive oils and vinegars. And over the years, I had a lot of opportunity to take Zingerman staff scholarships, and in 5 years I spent about 2 years traveling abroad and doing apprenticeships and internships all over the country, and learning all about cheese and agriculture. And eventually I decided I wanted to learn about cheese making, and asked John Loomis, the managing partner at the creamery, if I could do a, you know, 1 day a week unpaid internship for 3 months, and ended up doing that, and got, you know, was really excited about it, even in spite of all of the dishwashing and floor drain scrubbing that cheese making is really about.
Yeah, what percentage of cheese making would you say is dishwashing?
It's at least a quarter, and then the other cleaning is a quarter.
Nice.
And then wrapping cheese is a quarter, and then actually making cheese is a quarter.
Any of you aspiring cheesemakers out there, you heard it here first. Cheesemaking is 75% cleaning and wrapping.
Yeah. It's not very glamorous.
But it is really fun, and cheesemakers are, in general, pretty awesome. So, you know, you got that going for you. Good company.
Yeah, it is. It's good company.
So what do you do at the creamery now? What's your role there?
I spend a lot of time making cheese. I help with a lot of the fresh cow's milk cheese production, and then I'm basically running our fresh and mold-ripened goat cheese production. So everything from, you know, talking to the goat farmer to receiving milk, pasteurizing, setting, and then ladling all of the cheeses, and then finishing all of the mold-ripened cheeses. You know, doing the best I can to keep things clean and, you know, moving forward. You know, cheese making, you can only improve one thing a batch, and so I'm always looking for, you know, the next thing to refine to make the cheese better. I run our quality control program. We call it the Cheese XI, or Cheese Experience Indicator, and so we score and track the cheeses throughout the Zingerman's businesses, you know, how they taste at the deli, how they're tasting at the roadhouse, how they're tasting at the creamery, and then using that information to help us, you know, move towards world-class cheese.
So if I had thought ahead and mail-ordered cheese from you guys, you could have been here in the studio with me to evaluate the cheese?
Yeah, we could have even shipped it to you on Thursday. You would have gotten it by Friday. And
oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to have a follow-up then, because this is fun, but I really want you to come out and see Roberta's at some point, where the Heritage Radio Network is located.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Well, that's really great. So you keep a close eye on all of your different cheeses. And can you tell us about the different styles of cheese that you make? Because some of them are pretty fragile.
Yeah. Well, we predominantly make lactic-style fresh cheeses, fresh goat's milk cheese, and cow's milk cheese is as simple as farmer's cheese, cream cheese, and then simple ladled rounds of either cow's milk or goat's milk. And then we do both. We do a double cream mold-ripened cow's milk cheese, and that's with a geotrichum rind, so really very fragile, very hard to work with. And we do several goat's milk cheeses with the geotrichum rind as well. And, you know, it's been a really interesting learning experience trying to get really good at, you know, ripening these cheeses. And I think we found a pretty good system so far. They are notoriously difficult to deal with because they're more closely related to a yeast, and so they don't mature as quickly or as dramatically as, like, a penicillium-rinded cheese would. And we're next to a bakery, so we're dealing with blue mold all over the place. And
because blue mold originally comes from rye bread, isn't that right?
Right. And so any you know, grain flour is going to attract the blue molds. So
that could actually be a happy thing. Why doesn't Zingerman's make a blue?
Oh, we could, but then we'd have to have a whole, you know, we'd have to have a room just for making blue, just for aging blue, you know, so there's certainly potential in it, but you have to completely segregate your operations if you're going to really introduce blue mold into your environment.
That's true. That is very true.
Yeah.
So, and your cheeses are really delicious as they are, these little, you know, I've tried some of the mold-ripened ones and the fresh ones, and they're incredible.
Thank you.
What's your most popular cheese?
I would say that the Lincoln Log and the Detroit Street Brick, which are aged pressed goat's milk cheeses, the Lincoln Log is a Boucheron, so really just nice. You can use it in any, you know, any span of cooking and eating. It's so versatile. And the Detroit Street Brick is the same paste and everything, it just says green peppercorns and is a brick and not a log. So those are one of our favorites and most popular. And then the Manchester, which is the double cream cow's milk cheese with the geotrichum rind, that one has really gotten popular in the last couple of years.
So that, I mean, that's an incredible array. And I want to talk to you a little bit about your relationship with your farmers, because that is, we're talking about the state of cheese in Michigan, and your relationship with your farmers is obviously influencing the dairy landscape around you. So could you tell us a little bit about how you work with your farms and how you've influenced their agriculture and how they've influenced your cheese making and rice, all that stuff?
Well, I think, my favorite term for cheese making is taking the milk and trying really hard, taking this milk that the farmers have put so much work into and trying hard not to screw it up.
It's true.
At least to represent it well and, do honor to the agricultural work that is done. We have a very close relationship with our cow's milk dairy farmer. The Calder family is a third-generation dairy, and they supply ceramized or low-temperature pasteurized glass-bottled milk to, stores and homes all over southeastern Michigan. So, they've definitely found a niche for, being able to add value to dairy. It's a very hard industry to make any kind of profit in.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
They've been here for a long time, and so we are happy to have this relationship with them. They name their cows. They feed them well. They love them. It's not an heavily intensive production system. They're wonderful people to work with.
Go
ahead.
I was just going to ask about how much of their milk do you guys buy for your cheese production?
Right now we're buying about 500 gallons a week of cow's milk, and about 150 of that, or 100 to 150 of that, is going towards our Great Lakes Cheshire, which is a hard raw milk cheese. And then the rest of that goes towards fresh cow's milk cheeses and also gelato, which we make on site.
That is totally awesome. I think in many ways, things that we're going to talk about on this show, but the Zingerman's relationship with these farmers, it's a really good model and something that could be replicated in other states to get dairy farmers back in a place where people appreciate the milk that they're producing.
Right. We choose to pay a premium above the commodity price for cow's milk, and certainly for goat's milk we pay a premium to encourage, better care of the animals and good stewardship
and
a livelihood for the farmers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, actually, this is, I'm going to insert a little factoid here, because I was doing some research last night before the show, and I was looking at the Michigan, Michigan Cheesemakers Cooperative, exactly. And then from that, I was looking also, I was looking kind of at the industrial counterpart, which is the Michigan Milk Producers Association. And I was thinking about value-added products in dairy, and was astonished to know that in August 2010, according to info on the Michigan Milk Producers website, the going price for cheese, just as a commodity product, was $1.60 per pound.
Wow.
pretty crazy. I decided to keep it cheese related instead of milk related, because milk is a little bit more abstract. But, so it's pretty amazing to think about the way that you guys pay your farmers and what that means to them, because they're definitely getting more than the equivalent of $1.60 per pound for milk being made into cheese.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, it's totally crazy. So, do you go and visit them? Do you, do you guys sort of check in with each other? What's the protocol like?
Well, mostly, honestly, I haven't visited. I don't own a car, and so it's hard for me to visit these farms, because a lot of them, like our goat's milk producers, 3.5 hours away, and the Calder family, many of, my boss has interacted with the Calders a lot, and he's been managing that relationship for a long time. And so, he's on the phone with them every week, and he, has certainly visited the farm.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I just think, it's such a cool thing for them to have you guys as partners, because you are doing a tremendous justice to their hard work. Well, let's see. I think actually we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I want to talk to you about this Michigan Cheesemakers Cooperative because it's awesome. And we need to know about it. Stay with us on Cutting the Curd. Welcome back to Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Ann Saxelby. Our show today has been sponsored by Fairway Market, and we're talking cheese in Michigan today with Aubrey Thomason, who is cheesemaker at Zingerman's Creamery, located just outside of Ann Arbor. And so, Aubrey, tell me about this Michigan Cheesemakers Cooperative. I actually just found out about this, and I'm so excited to know it exists.
Well, the Michigan Cheesemakers Cooperative, I believe, has just been in, you know, true cooperative form for a little over a year. And my dear friend and coworker, Joshua Miner, is the president, and he is he's our gelato maker as well as a cheesemaker for the creamery.
Okay.
And it was started sort of mainly by Michigan State University. They got a grant to, you know, make a cooperative of cheesemakers, them and a woman named Barbara Jenis, who owns a dairy in Byron Center. I believe it's Goat's Leap, but she's also involved with getting a number of other dairies, sort of very small-scale dairies, started up. And so they had a group of cheesemakers had approached Zingerman's to get involved, and Josh happened, you know, to be the one to get involved with them and work with them through the process of becoming a co-op. So right now it's sort of, you know, very loosely, you know, associating a group of cheesemakers. And so we're all just starting to get to know each other and start to, you know, visit each other's dairies and talk. And, you know, and I would say that Barbara Jenis has just really been a huge resource to, you know, come up in the state. And it's really exciting to have somebody inspired and committed to dairy and, you know, to want to get everybody together.
Now, can I ask, Barbara Jenis, did you say, is she a cheesemaker or is she associated with the MSU? Okay.
She's a cheesemaker in Byron Center, Michigan, which is like near Kalamazoo. So it's on the west side, like southwest side of the state.
Okay. Okay. And so, yeah, it's a really unique thing because I read Michigan State University Product Center for Agricultural and Natural Resources pulled the cooperative together with money from the USDA Rural Cooperative Development Department. And it's just an amazing thing. And I guess there are 11 members right now, as far as I could tell online. And so in what way is this a cooperative? Is it actually an economic cooperative, or is it more just a knowledge and research sharing body?
At this point, it's just a knowledge and research sharing party. You know, it's there to bring us all together. And I think, you know, try to come up with a long-term vision for, you know, what we would like dairy and cheese making to look like in the state. You know, right now there are not a terrible amount of resources from the Department of Agriculture, especially for goat's milk. You know, of course, the you know, milk bodies are all supporting cow's milk production, and there are a lot of goat's milk producers in the state, and there's nowhere for their milk to go. There are not very many haulers. There's, I would say it's sort of in a crisis. So in crisis mode.
That's amazing because in other places like Vermont, you know, Vermont Butter and Cheese, or Vermont Creamery as they're called now, they can't get enough goat's milk.
Right. In fact, a lot of there's a Michigan goat's milk cooperative who basically, you know, drives around the state and picks up all of this milk. And we used to buy from them before we found a single source that could haul us milk.
Mm-hmm.
they are basically taking all of this milk to Vermont.
Wow.
So it's sort of, it's insane. And otherwise, people are just dumping milk all over the state. Last winter alone, I think seven goat's milk dairies went out of business. There's supposedly a milk bottling plant opening in Kalkaska, which is sort of like in the northern central part of the state, which is like 4.5 hours from us.
Mm.
But they're supposedly going to be doing glass bottled, low temperature pasteurized milk, and then I assume distributing it all over the Midwest.
Wow. Wow.
So that would be a huge boon. But again, like one of the major issues with that is that, you know, there's all this milk and no one to haul it.
Right. Yeah. Infrastructure, transport, distribution. It's always the sort of missing link in the puzzle, at least for right now in our at our stage of the game.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's really disappointing to hear that there are goat dairies going out because, I mean, they're just tremendous opportunities. But you guys represent, obviously, the upswing in that and turning that milk into delicious cheese.
Yeah. But for us, it's, it's still very difficult, to source milk as fresh as we want, to be able to get it from as few sources as we want, and a major part of that is hauling.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know. I smell another Zingerman's business coming online.
Yeah, something. there's definitely a lot of, and where we are placed in the state, there's a lot of opportunity for the creamery, I think, in my work time, being so young, that I can certainly envision and imagine being able to work with the Michigan Cheesemakers Cooperative in the U.S. or the MDA to pool resources and, maybe create a better system for transport of milk. And, the model that is being, worked on in Vermont is, awesome in that we're, training people to add value to their own product, I think, is really, where it's at.
Absolutely. But I do agree that there has to be some level of, efficiency and scalability. Like in Vermont, of course, Jasper Hill is doing their cellars where they're taking over the commitment of aging cheeses for cheesemakers so they don't have to make that investment in their, aging facility at the farm.
Right.
I think that, your model and models like that are really powerful because they enable, dairy farmers to do what they do best, which is, taking care of the animals, taking care of the land, and making great milk. So I think what you guys are doing is fabulous. So can I change tacks just a little bit and ask about raw milk in Michigan? Before we move on from this, I want to ask, what is the website for the Cheesemakers Cooperative? Because everyone needs to be able to find out about that.
MichiganCheesemakersCooperative.org, I believe.
Okay. And I also found GreatLakesGreatCheese.com as another site for people to be able to see those
I
members.
I think that's an MDA website, Michigan Department of Ag website.
Okay. Okay. Awesome. So we have multiple ways for people to access this this info. Raw milk, what's the deal? Is it legal? Is it not?
So it is sort of legal in Michigan. You can access raw milk through member share programs, either, goat's milk, cow's milk. You have to sign a contract and literally, buy a portion of the animal, and then you're due some amount of its production. And you can only purchase the milk on farm. There was a few years ago a major member share raw milk bust in southeastern Michigan because they were taking the milk off the farm and distributing it via like farmers markets or CSA pickup spots, and so that kind of got nipped in the bud.
Isn't that amazing? It's like a drug sting,
contraband.
But for raw milk.
Yeah,
ridiculous.
So there's some access, but I'm of the mind, that there's a little enough regulation that it's sort of dangerous, because we do have a lot of hobbyists, whom with little understanding of the real farm dangers of processing and producing clean milk. Anytime anybody asks me, I say, you still want to buy it from a, regulated grade A dairy.
A licensed dairy. Yeah, that makes sense.
You still want to know that they know, what they're doing. And I think that it is an awesome boon for small scale dairies to be able to, you know, bring some money into their home economy, to be able to, you know, bring, you know, charge a premium for what is really a premium product. And, you know, it's worth way more than, you know, the commodity price says that it is.
But like you said, then if it's on farm sales, then, you know, it's like, what are the real economic benefits of a couple people driving up to a farm and buying a couple bottles of milk? You know, there has to be some sort of bigger force in play to make it really economically viable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys make any raw milk cheeses? Or
We make one raw milk cheese. It's called the Great Lakes Cheshire.
Okay, the aged one.
Yeah, it's a Welsh style. It's really based on the recipe for Langlochlin, which Leon Downey made in Wales up until maybe 20 years ago. So John Loomis, our managing partner, did his apprenticeship when he was young in Wales with Leon Downey. We've taken this cheese and turned it into the Great Lakes Cheshire. It's only aged about 60 days, 60 to 90 days.
Okay.
So it's not anything like Applebee's Cheshire. It's just an entirely different recipe for Cheshire.
That's the kind of the cool thing. It's like how this knowledge is disseminated. You know, the cheese inevitably takes the shape of the cheesemaker behind it and the market behind it and the local factors at play.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So where do you see Zingerman's Creamery going in the next, like, 10 years, say?
Oh, gosh. If I'm there in 10 years, I could give some definite answers. I certainly see us working more and more in the local marketplace. We do a lot of farmers markets now, but I see us working a lot more farmers markets, being, you know, getting into every restaurant, you know, having a huge presence in Chicago, which is really our neighbor. Working more and more with local milk producers. There's very little pastured milk that is in the greater marketplace, and so I'd like to see more pastured milk. I'd like to see us, you know, being a part of the economy of all of the cheesemakers in the state and really being able to, you know, support and push from our strategic location, you know, forward.
Are in a great position because you have such an established business. You know, you have the power to really, kind of rocket ship everybody into a greater marketplace.
Yeah. I mean, and I would just love to be, you know, I would just love to know all of the dairy, you know, all of the cheesemakers and farmers in Michigan and really understand what needs to happen in order to make this an economically viable industry for our state, as we're moving into the future. And I think, you know, we're definitely poised to help with that, and certainly from an educational perspective. You know, now we already, you know, we teach some cheese making courses for home cheese making, and I would just love to, you know, have people, making cheese at home again, especially lactic cheeses and yogurts and things that people were making in their home kitchens for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
For people to really feel comfortable doing that. And for people to really feel like they can ask for better milk and better cheese products, you know, from their area.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's really great. Well, so if people, I know not everybody is in the Ann Arbor area, but if people want to find out more about Zingerman's and your creamery and your cheese making classes, how do they do that? What's your website?
We are zingermanscreamery.com.
Zingerman'sCreamery.com. You heard it here first.
You can find us there.
That is that's awesome. I want to come and do one of your mozzarella classes. That's
the
one I was reading about.
Either I teach them or John teaches them, and it's definitely a nice change from talking to the cheese all the time, you know, to be able to talk to people.
The cheese appreciates it, though.
It does. It likes the love.
We'll have to reverse that. I was thinking first, you know, we'd have to get you to come out to New York, but I think I'm actually just going to have to come to Ann Arbor and learn how to make mozzarella.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm from the Midwest, too, so I could, you know, tie in. And I could go to, you know, your place, go visit my parents. Everybody would be happy.
Absolutely.
It would be great. Well, thanks so much for taking time out on a Sunday to be on the show. It's been really, really wonderful and interesting to hear all the good work that you guys are doing at Zingerman's Creamery. And I would encourage all of our listeners to check them out at zingermanscreamery.com. And we will see you next week on Cutting the Curd.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Aubrey.
for your sympathy. I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me. Ain't too proud of that.